And you want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I woke up lit up this morning. I gotta tell you that. I was up bright and early. About 5 o'clock, I rolled over and my eyes popped open and got a lot I wanna, Lord help me get all this out of me today. Welcome, folks, joining us here on the 7th day of May, 2019. I don't have any idea how it could possibly be May 7th already, but it is. Thank you for your faithfulness of being here every week, every day, every week, whenever you join us. Audience continues to grow. Our impact continues to grow. We got so many things I want to talk about. I'm trying to just pray that I pray every day before we go on, and I just pray that the Lord's going to let all this come out of me that's in me today. And I want to touch bases on some things I just got to touch bases on before we get too deeply going on here. Jared, if you could pull up the calendar for me real quickly. Remember, this weekend, we're going to be in Louisville, Kentucky. We're going to be there Friday night and Saturday morning. It's a second year anniversary of the Mother's Day Massacre, when 11 of our friends were arrested down in the last remaining abortion clinic in Louisville, Kentucky. And Bobby Lee, who is a native of Louisville. Bobby did our Salt and Light Brigade meeting up in Allentown, PA, but Bobby's from the Louisville area. Bobby's the one who's put all this together. And we're going to show up Friday night. We're going to do a meet and greet, maybe have a little pizza or something, do a little bit of teaching and discussion. And then Saturday morning, we'll get up bright and early. We're going to go back to that hellhole, that death pit, there in Louisville, Kentucky. And we'd love for as many of you as possible to come and join us. It's free. Yes, you got to pay your own travel. And yes, about $100 to stay in a hotel if you want to do that, but you don't have to. You can pick any hotel you want to. But there's usually a good crowd of other people who will be at the abortion clinic there in Louisville. We won't be alone. Even if we are alone, we're going to go down there. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus and commemorate what happened there. That's this weekend coming up. David Arthur and the crew are going to be up at the Iowa Huddle. Tom Dunn and David Arthur are going to be presenting the first ever presentation publicly of Fire and Brimstone. Got the name. I told you yesterday when I got it, I got it, which is the story of David Arthur's journey to salvation and all the things that go along with it. I hear it's I haven't had time to see it. I hear it's powerful. So if you're in the Iowa area, you can get up there. Excuse me, I need to get Tom and David back on it. That's something we ought to all do. We ought to all buy a copy of that video and share it with others and help support David and Tom that effort. Occupy 2019 is coming up here in the Hebron, Ohio area, Thornville, Ohio area. That's all. Jared, I haven't looked. I assume you've thrown it up on the screen for us. We'd love for as many of you to come. This is our national event. We're going to start Friday morning, Saturday morning, and finish up on Sunday morning, 2.5 days of fellowship and activism and stuff out on the street. That's going to be a life-changing thing for you. Life-changing. We're asking you to contribute $30 to it. We'll give you a couple of three meals and a lot of other stuff going on that takes a little. We rented a tent. You can sleep under the tent. All that stuff is available there, folks. I'm telling you, this is a must. If one thing you can make, this is a must make. Okay, this really is. And that's, again, all the directions and everything that you need to know is right there on the screen. Occupy. Why did I call it Occupy? All hands on deck. Sorry, Jared. All hands on deck, 2019. And that's, my brain is going 1,000 different directions a day. Maybe I ought to find Jared where he put it up on the screen. I can follow along and that'll keep me focused here for a second. There you are. Thanks, Jared. If not now, what are you waiting for? If not now, when? There it is. There's all your options. That stuff's all available at our website. Please come and join us. Register online. Let us know that you're going to be there. And then, of course, the big one we announced yesterday, still not up on the website, and it's my fault that we haven't put it up there. We are returning to Chappaqua. It's going to be a big deal. We're going to go back to where Hillary and Bill Clinton live. We're going to go back with a peaceful demonstration. Right in the First Amendment of the Constitution to petition our government for a redress of grievances. We think Hillary Clinton, probably her husband as well, are both criminals. Now, our criminal justice system doesn't work when certain levels of, depending on how important you are in the world, you get away with crimes. And as I said before, a high crime, our Constitution speaks specifically of a high crime, and a high crime is not the seriousness of the crime, but the position of which the person who commits the crime. So a mayor committing a crime is a lot more serious than just an average everyday citizen committing a crime. A football coach getting a girl pregnant is a lot more serious than one of his players getting the girl pregnant because of the position he holds. A high crime. Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton in particular, have created high crimes while they're in office. Malfeasance of justice. And we're going to go there and we're going to demand that they be indicted, held accountable for their crimes. That's what we're going to do then. Now, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more. We're still putting the nuts and bolts together. We've had conference calls every day on it. Mark Trump's doing a great job with it, and Matt's in here. Matt's doing a great job with it, and we've got others that are coming to the table on this thing. And if you are anywhere near New York, Chappaqua is about 30 minutes north of New York. Stephen Menking's helping as well. Thank you, Stephen. If you're anywhere within that New York area, we'd love for you to come. It's going to be tipped off at 2 o'clock on the day before Labor Day, which is the 26th. And it's going to be a peaceful demonstration. We're going to hold signs and we're going to call for the government, excuse me, our elected officials to do what they've been called to do. So a lot of other things. Mike Heath has a matrimony day, God's Way, June 26th. Man, a lot going on in June, isn't there? A lot going on. At Washington, D.C., that's the anniversary, the one-year anniversary. Is it 2 year anniversary? Some anniversary of the dastardly, ungodly decision of homosexual marriage, as if there is even such a thing. And we're going to come, we're going to renew our vows, matrimony day, God's way. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we get rolling here. Get rolling. Vic, I got to get that stuff out, start squirting my throat here again. 26th, fourth anniversary. Thanks, Mike. And so we're all going to be showing up there. We have an event going on out the regional huddle out in Oregon. Oh, by the way, I got to say this. All my Texas friends, all my Dallas, Texas friends, not that this is anything crucial, but I just was one of those things I've forgotten. I almost forgot about it. Put on my calendar. Next Tuesday, I'm going to be in Dallas next Tuesday. Actually, it's not Dallas. It's one of the, I'm flying into Dallas for a tea party, I guess it is, a patriot meeting. They're going to fly me in. They want me to make a presentation, and that's next Tuesday night, the 14th. I'm going to fly in on 14th and fly out the next day. But I'll get the information. Maybe some of you guys who live close to that can come and be part of it. Maybe it'd be another way for us to be able to network with people in that area. But I almost forgot all about that one. Gary Pierce had surgery on Monday. Gary's in recuperation mode, so give Gary a call or text him or something like that. Let him know you're thinking of him. As I said, you don't hear this very often. A 66-year-old guy fell off his bike. And Gary just doesn't fall off little bikes with training wheels. He has those bikes that really go, and he's going really fast around the corner, and the turf, the ground was not the ground, but the concrete was wet. His wheels fell off from under him. He spun and fell backwards, broke his collarbone, cracked his rib with some things in the back, had surgery Monday. And they put him all back together. So Gary's in a recuperation mode. So be praying for that one as well. And let me see. Somebody else text me. There's a lot of stuff right there, folks. We got a lot going on. You know, my wife and I, God bless my wife. I'm so intense to be around. I'm just so intense. And I don't mean to be, but I just didn't. I'm just so intense. And, She always tries to, what's the word? Temper me. Temper. I'm really a happy-go-lucky guy. I love to golf. I love to do all kinds of stuff. But the situation we find ourselves in, man, I'm laser beamed. She said to me last night, when I came on, turned on the Hagman Report. We went out on our, I tried to take Michelle out on the boat last night. We have a little pontoon boat. Take her out on a boat to relax. We get down there and the battery's dead. So boy, is this typical. So there we sat in the dock in our pontoon boat, acting like we were relaxing a little bit. And I couldn't take it much longer. And I turned on the Hagman Report and I thought she was going to divorce me. She says, is that all you think about? I said, oh, well, it is what it is. It is what it is. So but bear with me today. I noticed today, Mike Heath started his own show today. Mike Heath Live came on at 6 o'clock. So those of you who are up early, Mike Heath is now doing a show that you, same type of thing, running it himself. So we got Mike Heath doing a show. Dr. Mike Spaulding's doing a show. David Arthur's doing a show. David Heavener's doing a show. And I feel like I'm Rob Pugh's getting ready to do a show. One of the points that Mike made on this show, Mike, I just caught just the very end of it. Maybe you can come in I think you're in. If you come in and just address this, Mike, the necessity of us to use social media while we still have it. Mike, can you come in and comment on that real quickly here?
Yeah, Coach. Is it working? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
I pointed out that Facebook, of course, has deplatformed Paul Joseph Watson. He has a huge global audience. They did that this week, and they're continuing to drill down as we approach the presidential year 2020 and silencing right-wing, conservative, nationalist, populist voices in the West. Facebook's doing that. Twitter's doing that. Google's doing that on YouTube. And I pointed out that we just, if you use Facebook, okay, you know, you're probably not going to get off it because you enjoy the pictures of the grandkids and the videos of the grandkids and the kids. And you use Messenger and what, you know, Facebook is a great platform. I mean, the world's never seen anything like it. Great in the sense of being technically great. It's amazing. But if you're going to keep using it, then use it with integrity. Be a Christian. Preach. Use Facebook to preach. That's how we're going to turn things around. People just need to be who they are.
Normal Christians being Christians. And that leads me into, does anybody else have anything for the good of the group they want to throw out there real quick before it leads me into what the Lord's been pounding on my chest about all morning? I don't mean that in a negative way. Anybody have anything that I've forgotten or think? I want to thank Alan for the great job he did yesterday. And
Coach Dave, how are you doing?
Yeah, a little bit of feedback. Oh, I want to thank, by the way, real quickly, man, don't forget the good people at Before It's News. Before It's, folks, please try to support them. BeforeIt'sNews.com. They stream our program live every day. They post our articles. They're 100% in our corner. And just visit that website regularly. There's a lot of stuff there. But Michael Roach will tell you this, for Mike Heath and Steve Menking and anybody's interested, he's looking for Christians who will post. So if you guys would like to post articles or commentaries or videos, let me know and I'll put you in contact with Michael Roach and we'll get you up there right away. I want to acknowledge my buddy Dennis Kelly, who's lives up in Petoskey, Michigan, had his first commentary posted at newswithviews.com today. It's really, really, really well done, really good. And it's exactly what Mike Heath is saying. See, we have to quit waiting on the pundits. We've got to quit waiting on the Tucker Carlsons. We've got to quit waiting on the Sean Hannitys. We've got to quit waiting on the Ben, whatever his name is. We've got to quit waiting on those people. We have to begin to start having impact right where we live and being an influencer with the people in your network of people. We have to begin to do that. And until we do that, we are not going to win this battle. Now, somebody tried to come in and it was some feedback. I'll try it again. I didn't hear who it was. Maybe not. Okay, cool. Listen, if I forget to mention something, I'm not, I want you guys to know this. I'm for every one of you. I'm for every one of you. You say, well, you're always mentioning Mark Trump. Well, do you guys have any idea what Mark Trump's doing behind the scenes right now? Any idea at all? The time and effort and energy that he's putting in to help with this initiative in Chappaqua? No. So I respect Mark Trump and what he does. And he's always there to try to help. Not that the rest of you aren't. But if we got to get past our daggone egos. All of us got to get past our ego. Well, Coach, he doesn't mention me. He doesn't appreciate what I do. Well, yeah, I do. Yes, I do. But I got a lot going on, man. I feel like I got 1,000 irons in the fire. And I get emails every day that people say, hey, well, how about this, Coach? Will you cover this? And will you cover this? And Coach, will you talk about this? And look at this, Coach. This is really good. Will you cover this? And it is. It's all good. It's all good. And the fact that I don't pick it up and stick it on the screen doesn't mean I don't support it. I'm a ringmaster. Does that make sense? And now here come the elephants. And we'll let the elephants go. Okay, over here now to bring the lions in. And I feel like that a lot. I feel like it a lot. I try to bring truth to you. I try to bring relevancy to it. And so just bear with me and give me a little bit of grace. I could go down here and I look at these names down here. I could tell you, all of you who are doing stuff, and I appreciate it all. And I pat you on the back and I offer you the opportunity to speak up if you want to talk about what you're talking about. And the idea that I can't actively get involved with every one of these issues, I got to stay married. I love her too much. I just have to have some kind of life. Amen. Okay. So here's what anybody, come on in. Now's your chance. Blow your horn. Blow the horn. Got 44. Hey, folks. Yes, sir.
Hi. Day before yesterday, I felt the Holy Spirit so strong.
Speak up a little louder, Jeff, if you can.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's a lot better.
I felt the Holy Spirit so strongly, and Mark Trump came up, and I called him up, and we spoke, and I told him, this Holy Spirit is so strong right now. Are you praying? He says, yes, I've been praying, and explained all that's going on and stuff. I tell you, the Word of God, something's happening here. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit is spreading across this country. I felt all the way here in Nevada, just to let you know.
Jeff, I got some stuff on today that's going to blow our mind. And sometimes the Holy Spirit grabs me by the collar, and he doesn't let me go. No matter how much I try to go a different direction, he jerks me back. And this is one of those jerk back moments for me this morning. And I tried to get away from it and said, no, nah, Lord, that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about this. And I want to talk about real quickly. And then I'm going to move on to something else. I want to talk about the battleground of the mind. Battleground of the mind. You know, the Lord told us to take captive every thought. Just stop there and think about that. Take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity. I'm going to show you some scriptures here this morning. Now that must mean it must be possible. It must be possible to take captive every thought. Now he said, take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, you take it in captivity, lock it up so it doesn't have any power. That's what it means, to take it captive. But to understand that we are totally always, if we're born again of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is constantly at work inside you. Some of you just haven't learned how to hear him. Some of you just haven't learned how to obey him. Some of you just haven't learned how to follow him. And I'm not saying I have. My sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not hear. There are other voices. But he says, if you hear my voice, you won't hear. He doesn't mean hear. He means listen. My sheep listen to my voice, and another voice they will not listen to. It's a battleground of the mind. And the Holy Spirit said this so clear to me this morning, so clearly, that the greatest hindrance in your walk with the Lord is fear. It's fear. I don't care what it is. If you wake yourself, how many times do you ever wake up in the middle of the night in joy, laughing? I don't think I ever have. How many times have you ever wakened up in the middle of the night and be struck with fear and not know why? You sit up and you're afraid. And it happened to me last night. I heard something loud last night. It jumped, got me so loud. My wife doesn't even know it. It was so loud in my head that I got up, got out of my bed, grabbed a weapon, went to the doors, was looking. Now, point being this, Why is it always fear? Why are thoughts of fear so prevalent in our mind? What is that? God said, Scripture said, God's not giving you a spirit of fear. He hasn't given you that spirit. Fear is a spirit. He's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So it tells me this, that when you have a spirit of fear, it's not a sound mind. When you find yourself in bondage to fear, you don't have a sound mind, boys and girls. And that's where the battleground takes place. And I can't tell you how many people who have emailed me trying to throw fear on me. I can't imagine. I come in contact, my wife and I, we come in contact with people all the time. And Michelle will tell them what's going on, or she'll hear me having a discussion with whoever. And boy, oh boy, that spirit of fear is everywhere. And the number of people who continue to tell me how much I'm risking. Oh, coach, oh, you're in such danger. Oh, coach, Hillary's, they're going to come and kill you. Oh, coach, the FBI is going to come. Oh, coach, the IRS, every bit of it, fear. Why are you folks speaking fear towards me? Not me. Why do we do that to one another? Why don't we speak faith? I very rarely hear from people say, oh, coach, you're going to tear down kingdoms. Oh, Lord, you're going to subdue giants. Coach, oh, you're heading the right direction, coach. That kingdom's about to fall. It's a mindset. Why don't we think that way? Why do we? Are the Clintons going to be mad at me? Hell yes, they are. Well, they should be. They ought to be afraid of me. Why? I got the King of Kings and Lord of Lords inside of me. They ought to be the one cowering, not me. But we operate in fear. We all operate in fear. And there's some of you watching right now who aren't going to go to Chappaqua because you're afraid. Oh, you're masquerading. You're masking it as something other than fear. You're busy. You've got to go. You have a golf outing that weekend already planned. You guys, that's Memorial Day weekend. And you always go to your mother's grave. You got all kinds of excuses. And the bottom line of it is you are afraid. Afraid of what you're going to lose. Afraid of what somebody's going to say. Afraid of who knows what. Listen, if you think you have control of one element of your life, you are greatly mistaken. If you think the Lord could not snap you like that, you think, folks, you're not in control of anything. You're worried about losing your house and losing your money? Well, I keep thinking about my buddy Charlie who dropped over dead. He lost everything like that. It was gone. He's dead. What do you think you can hang on to? What are you so afraid of? Are you crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, you live, but not you. Christ lives within you. What is fear holding you back from? And I know I could call George in here right now. We haven't discussed this, but I know George spent a great deal of his life in Amway. Did well in Amway. But George would tell you, I just know, that when you get people in Amway, multi-level marketing, they get paralyzed by fear. They won't call people. They won't go visit people. They won't make appointments. Why? Something is holding them back. What is that power of fear? Why is fear so powerful? See, fear and faith cannot abide in the same heart. They cannot. It's water and fire, or fire and water. Wherever you have fire, if you have water, you don't have fire. Because water puts out fire. Fear puts out faith, or maybe more appropriately, faith puts out fear. But so many of us are walking and controlled by fear. Now, I want you just to sit back a minute, and I want you to ask yourself this. You suppose those guys in the Revolutionary War, suppose they were afraid? You suppose when old Sam Adams got them all fired up and said, we're going to go down that harbor and we're going to, Sons of Liberty, wasn't that what they called those guys? We're going to go down there and we're going to throw the tea in the harbor. You suppose anybody said, you kidding me? Man, if the king finds out about that, oh man, your neck's going to be on the line. They're going to come by and they're going to give you lashes. You go down there and you mess with that king. They got seven ways of Sunday to get you. Folks, nothing great is ever accomplished without overcoming fear. And fear is nothing. Now, I was looking, thinking of Job today. And Job 3, you don't have to pull it up there, Jared. I just got it in front of me. You know, Job said this, "For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me." The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Fear. Face your fear. That's what courage is all about. God, he said in Isaiah, have I not commanded you, be strong and very courageous, and be not afraid and be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. Didn't Jesus say, go ye into all the world, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age? What is it that we have to be afraid of? Well, there's nothing wrong with being afraid, something wrong with staying afraid. And many of us are shackled because of our fear. Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, why did they kill Jesus? Because they were afraid of the power that he represented, and they couldn't handle it. They didn't want the responsibility of being Christians. The world didn't. So they killed him. They were afraid of his goodness. They were afraid of the greatness of God and that they could partake in it, and they didn't want it. Because they didn't want the responsibility. So they killed him.
Amen, Jared. Chad Estes just emailed me this one. How about this one? Cowardice is the inability to act in the face of danger. It's cowardice. The inability to face of danger. Hang on. Courage is the ability to overcome fear in the face of danger. Hey, folks, listen. I don't know what you think. I think we are in some serious danger in this country. And if we are scared to act, we're going to get exactly what we deserve. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, last night, brother, I kind of rocked the boat. My son, Levi, graduated from eighth grade, homeschool graduation, of course. So the parents were able to take a little bit of time and talk about their children and hearing the accolades of all these parents. And my kid studies this and he does this language and everything. So Levi Socia was the last one up there. And I got up there and said, well, Levi, you were kind of cut from the different loincloth. I said, you're the type that made your theology become biography in the street. I said, you have taken the word and manifested it. I said, brother, I said, I just want to let you know that. I said, you have taken the word and become the word. You have been the salt that is poured out of the salt shaker. And yeah. I think it probably ruffled some people. I said, because you've been to the gates of hell. And I said, you crush Satan underneath your feet. I said, you help the homeless. I said, you help. I said, son, you've gone places where most Christians wish they could go, talking about feeding and rebuilding and helping Rusty Thomas and then going up and setting up and being out with the banners and out in front of the abortion clinics. And I look at all these kids, all these little arrows that have been kept in their quiver and used as trophies on the wall. Brother, I probably rocked a little bit of the boat there at the comp, yeah. At the grade graduation.
Trophy children. I remember Cal Zastro when he sent his daughter Eva to China on a missions trip. Yeah, see, he didn't go to Haiti. He didn't go to the warm, luxurious places. He sent her to China, and he was rejoicing. He said, are you kidding me? He said, I've raised her to be this. I've raised her to lay down her life for the Lord. My. And most of us, we're just dipping our toe in it. If it gets a little bit scary, we run and hide, man. We run and hide. We won't do the righteous are as bold as lions. The righteous are. And evil men are supposed to flee when no one's even pursuing them. When we show up at, I'm telling you, when we show up at Chappaqua, there's going to be some knees knocking. There's going to be some spiritual knees knocking, not only on our side, but I'm telling you, there's going to be knees knocking on the other side. I'm just telling you, it is. But some of you are going to have to get over your fear. Some of you are. There's nothing more, Revelation 21:8. There's nothing more oxymoronic than a cowardly Christian. It should not exist. It should not. Why? I've been crucified with Christ. Jared, pull up those things as a battleground of the mind. I'm going somewhere. Hang in there with me. Pull up. These are just some scriptures that I just searched out this morning, just kind of the spur of the moment. I'm going to tell you, there's all kinds of people telling me. I hear it daily. Oh, coach, you're going to get in so much trouble. Oh, coach. Well, I ain't going to get in any trouble with the Lord. Where is that thing, Jared? There it is. Yes.
Something that me and Mom were talking last night. You know, Jesus, she said the further Jesus got into his ministry, the closer he got to death. Well, no. The further Jesus got into his ministry, the closer he got to life.
Amen. Oh, up on the screen, battlefield of the mind. I'm not going to read all of them. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. To the Lord, not to the government, not to Hillary Clinton. What's good and perfect and acceptable to God. Second Corinthians, for though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war against the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power, strongholds, pulling down strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Every thought captive to obey Christ. Boys, that's an aggressive Christianity right there to be able to do that. 2 Corinthians 15, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion. Who does? We do! We destroy arguments and every lofty thing. To take every thought captive to obey Christ. Isaiah, keep in perfect peace. His mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, what is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worth a praise, think on these things. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee for the weapon. I could go on and on and on. Some of you can't sleep at night because of fear. Fear. You don't even know what it is. You're just riddled by fear. You lay your head down and you're riddled by fear. I'm sorry, I'm fixing my ear plug here. Hey, boys and girls, that's a spirit. And it's not the Holy One. That spirit of fear, and it's not the Holy One. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. What? You mean that other spirits? John 4:1, Jared, down there. But test the spirits to see whether they're from God. For many false prophets are going out in the world. By this, the Spirit of God, you shall know. I'm sorry. By this, you shall know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God, but from the Antichrist, which you've heard was coming and is now in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. Overcome who? The world! For greater is he than you than he is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world. And the world listens to them. The world operates on fear. Christians cannot operate on fear. You cannot be fearful and be a Christian. Christ delivered you from fear. The only fear that we should have ever had was the fear of death. And he's delivered us from that. We're free from fear. It's a spirit. It's trying to prevent us from doing great things. Amen. Shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, I got to show you some things here. I got several things I got to show you.
Amen, Coach.
Anybody want to say anything yet? This is heavy.
Coach,
this is where the rubber meets the road. Come on in. I'm sorry.
Coach, you're a Christian wedge buster, man. Most folks ain't going to understand that, and they didn't understand John the Baptist either, brother. They thought he was crazy.
Amen. And I'm nuts, but I'm screwed on the right bolt, Alan. That's what I tell you.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Jeff.
I had a pastor the other day, last Friday, invited him to come to the gates of hell there at the abortion clinic.
Yeah.
He looked at me, and he knows the stories. He's heard them all. He looked at me with that look on his face. He said, oh, no. He said, I looked at him, and I said, why not? He said, oh, Jeff, he said, I love Jesus. I said, you must not love him enough. He walked away shaking his head. Oh, I love him more than you can imagine. And he just took off.
Yeah, it was fear. It's fear. He's not really, see, he hasn't, he's not, he doesn't realize that if he really loves the Lord, if he's really born again, that that fear doesn't have any power over him. Guys, I got this. I got to get this in. I got to move on. This is critically important. Jared, I want you to play this at time and a half speed if you can. Go to Rick Joyner. Hey, listen, I don't get into these prophets, okay? But maybe it was Paula Heath that sent me this Rick Joyner video, and I watched this thing this morning. Jared, I want a couple short clips I want to show. Go to start at the 1 minute 20 mark. He's on with It's Supernatural with Sid Roth, a minute 20 mark, and Rick Joyner had a dream, whatever, had a vision, whatever it is. And I want you to listen to several of these parts because this really, really resonated with me. This is Rick Joyner. Go ahead, Jared. Play it a double or one and a half times. I think you can hear it.
Is this, what was the essence of this dream? Well, there were some really important factors in it, but one of them was I was able to see our U.S. history from heaven's perspective. And it was very different. Radically different. You know, we say there's fake news. Well, there's fake history out there, too, that has been, I think, colored by prejudices, by political opinions and things like that. But this was our U.S. history from heaven's perspective, but also a revelation of God's purpose for our country. Tell me a little bit about the dream. Well, start off, I saw what I call dread champions. These were champions, spiritual champions that are being raised up to go after and pull down strongholds.
Folks, this is us. This is us. He's talking about he's seeing spiritual champions being raised up. Go ahead.
Major strongholds. And I was standing in line with these people thinking I'm going to get sent out. And an angel came up to me and said, come with me. You've got a different assignment. So I followed him and I went and I was taken from this big device. It's hard to describe, but on the face of it, I could see our U.S. history from heaven's perspective. And as I moved from left to right, just walking along in front of this, time progressed through the Revolutionary War, through the Civil War. And I knew that if I went all the way to the end of this, I would be able to see how I would be able to see our own times from heaven's perspective. So I saw things as I was walking in front of it. But my goal was I want to see where we are now and how are we seeing now from heaven and heaven's perspective.
And you actually saw the future in this.
5 seconds. Folks, I'm hurrying through this. I'll get this to you so you can watch this whole thing. A couple clips I want you to see here.
And then the dream ended.
Would it have been possible at a certain point to avoid this second Revolutionary Civil War?
I think so.
American Civil War is coming. Rick Joyner says the second American Civil War is coming. Go ahead.
And this is a question I still have, because up until then, I would have said, yeah, if you don't change your direction, you're going to end up where you're headed. And we are, as a nation, headed for another Civil War. Plenty of time to avoid it. Plenty of time for changes and things to get resolved. This changed my thinking. It's inevitable. It's not going to happen without this. So now my...
Excuse me. Will this occur in your lifetime, in my lifetime, in your lifetime?
I believe it will. Now, I wasn't given a date or timing on it. Mm-hmm. I have a sense, and sometimes you get a sense from these things that, because of how dramatic they are, that it's imminent. But I do think it is. We're moving towards this faster than I would have expected. Even since I had that dream in December, I see things moving. They're picking up pace.
Now, you said this war would be in the natural and in the spiritual. Tell me about both.
Well, I think the degree to which we win the spiritual war, I think another great awakening is not just, I think it's absolutely essential. And just like the first great awakening is linked to the Revolutionary War, second one to the Civil War, there are things that are going to be illuminated in the what I believe is already beginning, the third great awakening in America. But I believe it's going to illuminate things that can no longer be tolerated in our country. We fall into an ultimate depravity, according to Isaiah, of calling good evil and evil good, honoring the dishonorable and dishonoring the honorable. There's some things like that already we're at the place where there does have to be this resolution. But we also, I think, to the degree that we can win the spiritual war, it can lessen the cost of the war in the natural. Now, what I did see into the future were cities burning. Not all of them. I just saw some. I don't know how.
Jared, did you recognize
1950.
Like, what kind of preparation would you do? I would be buying food, resources, all kinds of things to defend myself, my family. There are things like that. But think, okay, what we would be doing in the natural. Apply it to the spiritual too. You know, I want Bibles stored up, Bible studies. And things like that, because, you know, we were down there in the Katrina catastrophe and all that. They didn't have power or anything else. We had a generator. We could have run videos. They would have watched anything we would have put on the screen. We got to look at this as harvest time. And we got to look at it for being able to reach our neighbors and help them. And to me, that means storing extra stuff, thinking not just of ourselves, But being Joseph's storehouse, being there are many ways that I think we need to prepare in the natural, but then do the same thing in the spiritual.
Give me a couple examples in the spiritual.
Well, like I said, I think of Bibles as the weapons of heaven.
We'll make this available for you. Again, I don't, I don't get into guys. I say this the right way. I don't put a lot of credence sometimes in prophecies, but this one really hit home with me. This was really, really a powerful one. And I want to piggyback on top of that, Jared. Go to the one that says Lance. Oh, I didn't put that link there for you. Oh, my goodness. Somebody say something. Let me find this link real quick and send it to Jared. Somebody come on in here.
Amen. You know, the book of Amos talks about there's a time coming. It says that there will be a famine in the land. It says, and not the famine of food and of water, but of the very word of God. And that's what he's talking about. You know, most people will prepare for natural disaster, but I believe we're living in a spiritual disaster, Coach, is what we're living in. And we're looking for natural solutions to spiritual solutions. And those two things can't mix. There has to be, when you're talking about fear, there has to be a solidified conscience in our spirit mind that no matter what comes our way, we're not going to be moved from the faith, or we're going to kowtow and we're going to bend our knee. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they looked at King Nebuchadnezzar. They say, King Nebuchadnezzar, know this, that our God is able to deliver us. But if he don't, know this, we will not bend our knee to you.
No fear, no fear, right? No fear. No fear. Jared, I just sent you this Lance Wallnau video. Bring it up at 10 minutes and 40 seconds. No fear. Listen, what's the theme today? No fear. We are fearful. Do you think the guys at the Revolutionary War were scared? Yeah. Do you think the guys at Battle of Bull Run were scared? Yeah. Do you think they were scared at Gettysburg? Yeah. Do you think they were scared during World War I? Yeah. Do you think they were scared during the Second World War? Yeah. Do you think they were scared during Vietnam and Korea? Yeah. Yeah. Do you think every soldier that went to war wasn't scared? Of course they were scared. Of course they were scared. And they had fear of preservation. They wanted to stay alive. Self-preservation. We understand that. But the fearfulness, folks, that is in the American church today is ungodly. It's ungodly that men of Christ would be so fearful, so cowardly. This group of Christian men in America today are a blot on Christianity. How fearful we are to do what Christ told us. Greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. I want you to watch this 10-minute 40. I started at 10:40 mark. This is another must watch. And here's, I don't know if this is where it's going to be. Lance Wallnau said, Mark Trump, I was going to send this to you. I was going to send this to all of you, because he makes the point that the power that will unlock your future is in your relationships. And God will bring to you, if you're smart enough to recognize it, God will bring people in and out of your lives. And people are going to come into your life. When you have a mission and you have a vision and you have someplace that you're going to go and it's of the Lord, he ain't going to leave you alone. And he's going to bring those into your life who are going to help execute that vision. And can I tell you something else? He's going to take some folks out of your life who are a hindrance to your vision. And you're going to find a shifting, changing of the guard in your relationships. If you're going to go where the Lord wants to take you, you cannot hang around with the crowd you always been hanging with. Go ahead and play this, Jared.
God, and it'll be like the envy of the, it'll be the shock of the world if we dork out our own blessing with what God is doing, because it's mercy doing this right now. It sure isn't because we deserve it. And by the way, don't pay attention to any news cycles that talk about evangelicals getting up in meetings and saying something to the Buttigieg, whatever the guy's name is, the guy who is running on the Democratic Party. I got to get his last name pronounced properly. It's very difficult. I'm having a hard time with it. But it's the guy who was a gay mayor. So this is the left's way of dividing the Christians on the right, because the Christians are so weak. I mean, we don't know our doctrine from third base. We're completely confused. We don't understand politics. Let's face it. I've been one of us for like 40 years. I know my tribe. We don't understand politics. We think that we're going to have to just pray. We're going to revival our way into a solution. Let me tell you something. You don't revival your way into a solution It's kind of like praying that God is going to fix your kids, but you don't take the time to hug them. Or God, you're praying for a better relationship with your wife. You see, you take off for 40 days in the wilderness and fast and pray and do prophetic proclamations. And meanwhile, your wife wants a divorce. Why? Well, maybe you should have gone on a weekend with your wife and taken her to the Bahamas or someplace. In other words, you can't hire someone else to hug your kids, and you can't get God to do a revival for you to solve a problem. You got to solve another way. You know, it's like when I was unemployed, I used to say, Lord, you know, you can provide the job. And the Lord said, why don't you go look? I'm sitting there when I was 19 years old. Oh, Lord, you can bring the job to me. If it's your will, it'll be done. The Lord said, you're going to be waiting a long time if that's the formula. You got to get out there and look. I said, well, surely you'll lead me. The Lord said, yeah, I will lead you. You first go to the want ads, and then you start looking. You knock, knock, knock. You ask, ask, ask. You go, go, go. And I remember, oh, my God. This was a total different revelation of the life of revival. And so this is where Christians are at right now. You better get plugged in. You better understand what's happening. I'm doing an Extreme Dream Trip. You want to check it out? ExtremeDreamTrip.com.
Stop that, right? See, that's Christians are in the prayer mode only. Pray, pray, pray. What is this prayer? Pray to end abortion. No, no, no. You're going to have to go. And so we say we want to see righteousness restored to our government. Boys, prayer ain't going to get it done. Somebody's going to have to go. It's always been that way. God always used people. And I want to say this. I cannot believe the people the Lord is bringing across my path to fulfill the vision that he's given me. It's amazing to watch. And I cannot believe the number of people who haven't kept up. They, for whatever reason, they're stuck in a rut. I can't pull them. I can't pull them. I can't. If I have to spend all my time going back and pulling guys out of ruts, I can't do it, man. If you're in that rut and you're comfortable with that rut, then you, by God, you sit in that rut and you rot in that rut. I'm not going to live like that. I believe the greatest things that we've ever seen in the history of the world lie right before us, and we will not go out and grab it because we are afraid. We are afraid we're going to lose our stuff. They're going to say something bad about us. We're going to end up in jail. We are afraid. I've been delivered from jail. I've been delivered from fear. Oh, fear comes knocking on my door every night. Fear comes down every time I lock my door. I wonder, is that black limo pulling up tonight? Hey, they ain't coming to your house. They're coming to mine. I think about it every night, but it's not going to persuade me. You know why? Because I got three little ones at the top of the hill over there, and I got three little ones over at the top of the other hill that are depending on me, Grandpa, to do something about it so that they have a bright future. That's what this is all about, me. And it's not about whether or not they're bombing Israel or all that stuff's going on. It's what can I do right here, right now, to make a better opportunity for those who follow behind me. For a wise man, a good man, leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And it doesn't mean sit on your ass. I'm sorry. Sit on your butt and pray. That's not enough. Somebody rescue me before I say something I wish I hadn't said.
Hey, amen. And the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And I'm not even afraid of that. Hey, it knocks on my door. It was knocking on my door last night. It was knocking on my door this morning. I ain't letting it in.
Hey, Coach, let me give you a little parallel here. Remember now, you're in good company. For Jesus had told his disciples, I'm about to go into Jerusalem. I'm about to be crucified. And Peter said, not so, Lord. We won't let this happen to you. See, even Peter, he was afraid and he didn't even want Jesus to go. So you're in good company when the people close to you telling you not to go or not to do, brother. So you're not alone.
You know why, Dale? Because they're scared. They're afraid the FBI is going to lead to them. Let FBI come after them next. They're afraid. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, your statement about just sitting and praying about it is not enough is so, so, so true. Because prayer has to be in faith. If you're not praying in faith, it doesn't count for nothing. And the Bible tells us that. And faith is putting feet to what you're saying and believing and speaking. Faith is not sitting around and waiting for something, somebody else, or for God to do it. Prayer is putting your faith, putting your feet to work in what you are speaking.
Cowardice is the inability, according to from Chad. Cowardice is the inability to act in the face of danger. Courage is the ability to overcome fear in the face of danger. The danger,
Coach,
boys. Yeah.
D.L. Moody said this, faith asks only one question, and that's not what everybody else is saying. What has God's word said, and then do it.
Amen. Let me throw this out there real quick. Like, I'm looking at the clock. It's running. I'm going to end on a happy note here today. I'm going to send you home laughing today. Listen, folks.
Well, you got me fired up, Coach.
Okay, good, Dale. Good. I got a lot of them fired up. I know how this works. Folks, we covet your prayers. In fact, I'm going to really, really begin to actively we've upped our ante. We've upped our ante here. And I'm going to ask, I know Michael Ortega has his network of prayer. I'm sorry, I can't remember what the name of it is right now. And I know Sheila Zielinski and others. I know some of you out, Strike Force of Prayer. Thank you. I know some of you out there are plugged into those prayers. I would just ask all of you right now who are plugged into those networks, please put us in our initiative on your prayer list, because we are moving in. I believe we are moving. I just believe we're moving against the Jezebel spirit. And I think it's big. I think it's bigger than what we understand that it is. And you say, well, Coach, why you think that's a big deal? Yeah, I think it's a big deal, because ain't nobody's got the stones to do it. And nobody been doing it.
Hey, Coach.
The righteous are the bold as lions. And I believe that we are stepping into, we are burrowing our way to tearing down some strongholds. And we need the prayer warriors to get in engaged behind us. Yeah, somebody tried to come in there.
Yeah, Coach, you know, you and those of us that are apart and we're all part of the same family connection, or that, you know, we're part of this smaller family group of the larger Christian family. But we do covet the prayers, and we appreciate the prayers of those people praying out there. But like we just said, praying is more than just words to God. Praying is putting something into action. Now, if you're praying for Past Assault Ministries, you may be sending money. That's putting your feet to the action. You may be telling others about it. That's putting your feet to action. But just sitting there and only telling God about it is doing nothing to help.
Amen. Amen. So keep scrolling on down, Jared. I'm going to leave you guys with a laugh here. I'll leave you with a laugh if I can find it. There it is, Jared. Okay, you guys, you get your laughing shoes on. I'm going to leave you with a good spirit here today. I want you to watch this. I want to show you this video. This is called the Arizona Daytona Slingshot. I want you to watch this, because this is most Christians when they get in trouble. Okay? We all love Jesus, but we all really love Jesus when we get in trouble. Get ready to hold your gut laughing. 2 minutes. Go ahead, Jared.
Ladies, how was it?
It was good. Awesome.
Jesus, help me! Help me! Jesus!
All right, ladies, well, they paid for another ride, so we're going to go a little higher, a little faster.
I don't want to go!
Three.
I don't want to go!
What's wrong? We got your seatbelt on!
That is the average Christian. Right there it is, the average Christian. We get ourselves in a mess, and then we call on Jesus and tell Jesus how much we love him and how sorry we are and everything. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, help me, Jesus, Jesus. That's where most people are with their Christian faith. Got a couple minutes left. Somebody help me wrap this thing up.
I love it, Coach, and I cannot agree with you. Of course, that was a big moment for that child. At least the child cried out to Christ. Amen, I see the analogy with the church. You know, he didn't cry out for mommy and daddy. That child cried out for Christ, and I pray that would be his, you know, the charge is that we need to cry out to God, not to solutions that are in the world, but we should have been crying out to God before we got on the ride.
Amen. We shouldn't have got on the ride. Or if once we get on the ride, then understand how totally dependent we are really on Christ. We want him to intervene. We need him to intervene. Lord, hey, folks, listen. What a time to be alive. I tell my wife every day, multiple times a day, how much I love her, how much I love my life, how much I love our grandchildren, I love where we are. But, you know, Russ Dizdar taught me this. When he would go out on the streets, I'd see some of the stuff he'd do. I said, Russ, aren't you scared? And he looked at me and said, of course. I said, Coach, I'm in the Lord's hand. I'm in the Lord's hand. Nobody can touch me unless the Lord gives them permission to be able to do it. I'm in the Lord's hand. More of us need to be in that position. Folks, we don't have any idea. I'm telling you, the left, the demonic left, are out of their mind. They have no restraint. They don't have the Holy Spirit to control them. They're totally and completely fleshly, carnal, demonically charged. And if you think that this war that we are coming to, that we're facing right now, this clash of the kingdoms, if you think it is going to be, you think it's going to be romper room, baby, it ain't going to be romper room. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And here I am, Lord. Send me. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.